Our scripture today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
It's your prayer today. You know it's going to be a bad day when you wake up in the morning and something unusual happens. I've been trying to eat more, eat better. Because as you get older and you're active, you know, so I've been trying to learn, I've learned a lot of things I haven't been eating that my body needs. One of them's protein. Meatloaf. Oh my goodness. All right. Turn back to Psalm 119. We're going to be here till midnight. So, well, meat does have protein. And see, the things that have protein, I don't really care for meat. I just don't care for it unless it's a real cow that I had at their place. I don't really like eggs. And so eggs. So I've been trying to force myself. So I do like the eggs when they're runny. You know, it's kind of gross, but I do like that. So I got on YouTube and I typed in, how do you cook an egg over easy? And I went in there a couple, 3 days ago and I did it. I actually did it. It's awesome. So several days, you know, I've been making, this morning I get up and I've even learned how to crack it without getting any shells in the, just, you know, it's awesome. Salt and pepper, flip that dude over. And so today, you know, I put out the frying pan, put a little coconut oil in there. Yes, coconut oil. And I'm hitting my egg on the side of the, see, I don't even know what they're called, frying pan, you know, skillet. I'm hitting it on there, and, well, that's weird. I'm hitting it again. Oh, man, it's going to all bust up. I'm going to have all this shell. So I hit it again. I look at it, and I go, what is going on here? Hard-boiled egg. Kelly had hard-boiled some eggs last night, and I pulled out a hard-boiled egg and realized it. So I thought, oh, boy, don't tell anybody. I just did. So anyway, I went and exchanged those in the refrigerator for the real eggs. No, and worked out good. So anyway, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, your word. And enter into our hearts today. There's nothing I can say to help me or any of us, but your word is powerful. It's the ancient words that you preserved for us. And your spirit knows exactly what each one of us needs today. So, Lord, I pray you would expose in our hearts things about ourselves that we don't know, we're blind to. So we can repent and confess and trust you to help us. Convict us of things that we may know, that we might repent, confess, and I just pray you'd encourage us of what a privilege it is to love Jesus. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. This is Your Treasure, part two. Your Treasure. I've been to Florida a few times, lived there for I don't know how many years, but we just never went to the beach hardly because when you're in school and working, you only have time to go to school and work. But I do remember being in a wave pool once at, used to be called Santa Claus Land Holiday World. You been in a wave pool down in the deep end? Well, I got a cramp in my leg. It's a cramp in my leg. I'm at the deep end, and I am just trying to survive. You wouldn't think it'd be that bad, but it's, I'm telling you, the waves are coming in. Well, out in the ocean, there's a thing called a rip current where waves come in, say, on left side and right side. They hit the shore. They go inward, and they go back out with a much more rapid pace. So you picture this happening. So if a swimmer gets caught in that rip current, he could be pulled out several hundred yards to sea in a matter of moments, and not even realize what is happening. Once he's out there, it's pulling him and pulling him and pulling him. He gets weak. He can get disoriented. And I read in 2015, 100 swimmers died, were killed, drowned in a rip current. Several each year are having to be rescued. You know, I've discovered that about the Christian life. Everything is trying to pull us away. You notice that? Everything is like a rip current, and it just pulls us and pulls us and pulls us. Love me, follow me, devote your time, your energy, your money, your love to me rather than Jesus. And before you know it, it happens unsuspectingly. We find ourselves far away from the shore. And sometimes we look back and say, how did I get away from the shore? Of course, the shore is Jesus. The shore is Jesus. Last week, we saw in verses 16 to 18 that pain is designed for us to seek our greatest treasure, fasting and prayer, not to be seen by others, but to go to our Father. And we talked all about that. I think 19 to 24 is just heavily related because Jesus is continuing to talk about our greatest treasure, which ought to be Him. But the danger is everything pulls us away from our greatest treasure. And what love it is here for Jesus to tell us these things. I was really impressed this week. I went to my, for lack of a better word, preacher school. I was really impressed as we talked and how so many times all we preach is do, 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 do. I hope you don't get that from me. If you do, let me know because it's wrong. There are do's, but sometimes we fail to emphasize love Jesus, and then you do because you love Him. Big difference. But also what love it is for Jesus to tell us. We're going to put our main points on the screen and then have the scripture up there after each main point. But first of all, our treasure reveals our heart. Our treasure reveals our... And in these five verses, we have three sets of contrasts. We have treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. Verse 22 and 23, we have full of light, full of darkness. Verse 24, we have two masters, God and money. So there are three sets of contrasts that Jesus brings to us today. And first of all, he says, whatever our treasure is, it reveals the innermost, deepest part of us, our heart. So the first one he says is, treasures on earth compared to treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So right away we know that each and every one of us are laying up treasures in one of these two places. There's no third place. We are either laying up treasures in heaven or down here where we live. Two choices only. It is for our good or it is for our evil. So let's look at these. Let's do what Jesus did. Let's look at the first one, earth. Do not lay up, command from Jesus, for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. So there's an imperative in the Greek. Here is a command. Do not ever, present tense, lay up for yourself precious things that only are from here, only last here, and never transcend beyond our death. Do not do it. Why? Because these kind of things are subject to decay. Moth, rust, destroys. Thieves come in and they steal it. So it's a very great command, is it not? Don't lay up for yourself things where people can come in and steal it, where moths can eat it, rust can eat it away. When I lived in Florida, every day when I would drive into college and drive back, I drove by this little barn. And this little barn, which looked like it should, you know how barns look when you drive in the country? They just look, how are they standing up? But this one wasn't a big one. It was just a little one. And there was like a 1962, 63, 64, something like that, Corvette Stingray parked in that little bitty barn. And it was such a small barn that about this much of it was sticking out. And that Corvette had dust and dirt, and it was just decaying there. Well, I found out the story behind it was the young man that owned it went off to Vietnam, was killed, and mom and dad just simply let it sit there. So here is this treasure just sitting there, rusting, decaying, rotting. I had my first car painted. I forget what year it was. It was a Chevelle Malibu Classic. Remember Mako? MAAC or whatever. Down on First Avenue for $19.95, you get your car painted or whatever it was. So I got my car painted back. It looked really great. But as I got my receipt back, in bold letters at the bottom, you know what it said? Rust will return. Why? Because rust is in the metal. And what does rust do? It eats away. Rust will return. So you can't come back to us and say, hey, you know, my car doesn't look good. And the sad part about that was, and I don't want to make Scott feel bad because he was in my wedding party years ago, but somebody in my wedding party shaving creamed that brand new paint job and ruined it. But I got over it pretty quick. You could see all of the shaving. It ate away the paint. Rust destroys. I'm okay, Scott. I got over it like a year ago. You didn't do it. Amen. Now I still love you, brother. We came home. Tell me Lou did it later. We came home from church one day in Florida, and we walked up on our porch, and we noticed the blinds in the house where the wind was blowing them outside. And my first thought was, we don't leave the windows up, old windows, easily to break in. The windows were up. Uh-oh. I opened the door. It's not locked. Someone had broken into our house. I really think they were disappointed when they saw what we had, you know. But they did. They stole a ring. Kelly had a diamond ring. They stole our little 13-inch TV and a little boom box we had. I really think they probably got in their car and went, man, that was a waste of time. But they stole it. And so what does Jesus say here? Don't waste your life on storing up precious, valuable things for yourself, because moths will eat it, rust will destroy it away, somebody's going to come and take it away from you. Here's Jesus' point. If what is most important to you on this earth, if that's what is most important to you, eventually you're going to lose it to somebody else or something. Eventually it's going to be gone. And eventually you're going to what? Die. It's gone. It's gone. And I love how Jesus, I think, is saying, I love you. Don't waste your life. And what happens? The rip current comes in, doesn't it? It just pulls us out. And before you know it, the car, the house, the yard, the stocks, the money, the clothes, the looks, the jewelry, the watches, you just keep pouring it on. All of a sudden, it means so much more to us than this Jesus who gave us life for us. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. But, see the contrast in verse 20? But lay up, store up, treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And notice the contrast here. It cancels out verse 19. Moth doesn't destroy these treasures. Rust doesn't eat away these treasures. Thieves can never break into my heaven and steal your treasures. So Jesus is saying, because naturally the question is, what's treasures in heaven? I think it might be some of these things. Use your life, your resources, your gifts, your talents, your money, your time, your energy for that which lasts forever, even beyond the grave. And it's done because we love Jesus, not because we're earning brownie points. Not a list of do's and don'ts. Store up. Use your life to put treasures where I'm at in heaven. Now, all of us can pull up our bank accounts online, right? Do they even have little passbooks anymore? Do they even do that? I don't know. Do they? I mean, most time people use computers. And most of us can look those up and we can see what's there. And you might shed a tear when you look at that or whatever. You might turn a flip. We can look at our land and see what sits on it. We can walk around our property and see all that we have. We can walk through our house and look at, you know, the jewelry box and the closets and all that good stuff. And have you ever thought about opening your account in heaven? Opening my account in heaven. Have you ever wondered what your account looks like in heaven? Interesting question, isn't it? Someone told me years ago they went to apply for a loan for a car. And the salesman pulled up the person's credit and just kind of laughed. And the person said he felt demeaned, felt horrible. Because his credit said, we ain't giving you a dime. You're not buying a car here. I wonder what comes across the heart and mind of God when he pulls up my account. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about as children of God, what we're storing up. Do you really ever think about that? What's going to be on that computer screen? What's going to be in the mind of God? He won't laugh. He may weep, but he won't laugh. But notice verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've heard this said, put your money in the church, because then your treasure will be in the church. That's hogwash. You can give millions of dollars to a church and be far, far away from Jesus. That's not what this verse means. Well, I want to care about my kids. I'll give them money. No. You can give your kids money and not care about them at all. That's not what this means. What this means is, look at your treasure. It will show you where your heart is. That's what Jesus is saying. Very insightful. Of course, he's Jesus, right? Whatever you reveal is your treasure, you can guarantee it, your heart's right there. If your treasure is your job, your car, your house, your yard, your looks, you just fill in the blank, and I can fill in my blank, prestige, wanting people to love you, whatever your treasure is, you can guarantee your heart's right there. And what a great love of God, letting us know to evaluate ourselves. Our heart always dictates what our treasure is, not vice versa. Secondly, our treasure reveals our devotion. These are kind of confusing verses. Let's see if we can make it simple. Look at verse 22. Well, here's our second set of contrast, light, darkness. See that? Full of light, full of darkness. The eye is the lamp or the lens of your body. So if your lens or your eye is healthy, well, then your whole body will be full of light. But contrast, if your eye is bad, if your lens is bad, that would relate to darkness and evil and loving things. Your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So Jesus is still contrasting treasures in heaven, treasures on earth, but now he uses light and darkness. And he uses the illustration of our eyeballs. And I think eye here is synonymous with our heart. They go together. Mind, eye, heart. Many times those are synonymous. Because everything comes in from our eyes, correct? Our eyes and our heart work together. And our heart sees what our eyes see, and our eyes see what our heart wants to see, and they work closely together. So Jesus is saying, be very careful, because everything that affects your life comes in through your eye. It is the lens. Now, if that eye is healthy, now the Greek word healthy, in fact, the King James Version nailed it really good here, and I prefer it over than the ESV here, although healthy is good. It's the word which means single, clear, undivided devotion. Oh, now the connection's getting clear with the previous verses. If what my eye focuses on is single, clear, undivided devotion, my whole life will be full of light. So if my eye is trained on a single-minded devotion for treasure in heaven, Jesus, my whole body will be affected by that. I'll be led by the light. I'll be filled by light. I'll be directed by light. I will think according to the light. My whole life will be encompassed with light, light, light. I will make decisions based on light, God's word. I will pray according to light. I will seek God's will according to light. So, very important here. What's my treasure? That will determine if you're light or darkness. So now look at the rest of it here. Verse 23, but contrast, if the lens is bad, which would be related to earthly treasures, my life is devoted to earthly treasures, money, job, stocks, retirement, things, just fill in your blank. prestige, wanting people to love me, wanting to be popular, having more than the neighbor. Just fill in whatever is your treasure. If your eye is bad and your treasure has realized it, I will not have a single-minded devotion on Jesus and the things in heaven, but my whole body will be full of darkness, directed by darkness. I will not make decisions based on the light of God's word. I will not make decisions based on what pleases God. It will be dark. Have you ever got caught in the dark? Isn't it fun to see? Not see? I've had a little light fixture in our basement out forever. It takes me a while, but I finally changed stuff. And so I bought the little $5 porcelain little light doohickey. See, I don't even know what it's called. I could never do a fix-it show. You know, a light fixture. And so I changed it, and it's so nice now. Kelly can see the washer and dryer now. It's so neat. But that light is separate than the light switch, which lights up the stairway and the rest of the basement. So when I walked into the basement last night, just that light was on. And so I said, well, I'll just pull the string. I pulled that dude off. Now I'm in the dark because I'm nowhere near the switch. So first I try and said, that's dumb. That's almost as dumb as trying to crack a hard-boiled egg. So I got out my phone, or you've done that, right? You turn on the phone and you make your way up. So dark, not good. Darkness is not good. Especially if you're ever in a huge building and it's dark. I'm scared. But can you imagine? We can be walking in darkness and not even know it, far from the shore, because we've allowed treasures to pull us away from Jesus. And we don't even know it. Treasures on earth. And it's amazing how Jesus adds to this commentary. If then the light, what should be light in you, is darkness, notice what he adds. How great is the darkness. I thought it was interesting how he added, your darkness is great. And as scary as it is to walk in darkness, can you imagine how scary it is to walk in spiritual darkness? The ridiculous decisions we make, the stupid things we do, the sin we get caught up into and have to pay as far as we reap what we sow. Our treasure reveals our devotion. Is our devotion single-minded? It's Jesus. Jesus and things in heaven. Third, verse 24. Our treasure reveals our master. Here's the next set of contrasts. We've had treasures earth, treasures heaven. We've had full of light, full of darkness. Third contrast, two masters, God and money. Isn't it amazing Jesus didn't say God and Satan? Isn't that interesting? God and money. I believe the King James is mammon, and the Greek word could be mammon, or things, possessions, money. Our treasure reveals our master. And I think the bookends of these verses, in other words, verse 19 and 24 is interesting. We've got treasures, and then we got money. Treasures, money. Treasures, treasures, treasures. The master in this context that's pulling you and I away from the shore, from our treasure in heaven, is money and things. Things, things, things. And we could add other things. We've mentioned some of them. Because our treasure many times is, you know, I want people to love me. I want people to appreciate what I did. And if they don't, I'm done with you. We have a lot of treasures we fight, don't we? A lot of treasures, money. I don't like to go to the mall. Now, I kind of like Christmas at the mall because I like the lights they put up. I am a Christmas light buff, although I hate putting them up. But, you know, even at Christmas, I don't like going to the mall. You know why? Or Target or Walmart or the greed. I can't take it. I can't take it. I just see things ruling people's heart. I know I'm a Grinch. It's not bad to buy gifts, please. You understand. There are some people that just live for that. This is the treasure that's pulling us away from Jesus. It's things and money. And notice what Jesus clarified, or maybe to clarify is not the best word, he zeroes in. No one can serve two masters. He's not talking about two bosses. You can work two jobs. You can work three or four jobs. And that's what he's not talking about. In this context, he's talking about a slave to a master. You cannot serve two masters. Because a slave was owned by the master. The master owned the slave. The slave was the sole property of the master. The slave didn't wake up one day and said, "Hey, master, I'm going to go work for such and such down the road." No. You were their property. And Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. It is an absolute impossibility. And if it were a possibility, you would either hate one of the masters and you would love the other. You'll either be devoted to the one master or you will despise the other. Who? Does this mean we can love Jesus and hate things? Or maybe we love things and hate Jesus? Wow. Or maybe we despise what Jesus is doing in our lives because our treasure is not what Jesus wants. Wow. No one can serve two masters. Now, if I said this, you'd go, "I don't have to believe that, but Jesus said it." And what is Jesus saying here? You cannot serve God and money. You cannot. It's an impossibility. You will either be devoted and follow one, and you will not be devoted and follow the other. Or you may give token appreciation to one and not the other. You may show up on Sunday, but your love really is not here at all. You may do what makes you look okay spiritually, but truly you're following the treasure on earth. So Jesus' point here is our master is either Jesus or money or our possessions. You cannot have both. Wow. This is something. So by way of application, think of it horizontally. I always got to think first. Horizon. Think of it like this. Treasure in heaven. You're full of light. Your master is Jesus. It lasts eternally. Even beyond your death. See how it flows this way. Now the other one. Treasure on earth, full of darkness. Your master is money and things. It'll get destroyed or stolen. It's temporary and it's lost at your death. They kind of flow together. So at the end of our lives, when we're in that beautiful casket, or whatever casket you get, what will our treasure account say? Or will it be all here on earth? Three simple applications today. First of all, how would our treasure account in heaven look today? If Jesus opened up our account and showed us, what would it look like? I thought of this. What questions would he ask me? What questions would he ask you? You ever get called into the principal's office? Dave, you ever call anybody to your office? Yeah, once or twice? Or maybe when your boss called you in and that's not a normal thing? A little scary, isn't it? Even if you know you've been working hard and doing great, there's always that, what did I do? What did I do? Can you imagine standing before Jesus and what questions would he ask me about where our treasure is? Do you think he might say, "Tim, why don't you love me?" Might be a good question. "Tim, is your car, why is your car more important than me?" And then you look at the scars and the nail prints in his hands. "Tim, why are you so engrossed about your physical appearance and you want everybody to love it. Now, we know I'm making that one up, but you get the idea. You get the idea. What would he ask us? I mean, even when we were called into his office, we've already fallen down on our face, right? We're already on our face. And only by God's grace, Jesus would say, get up, I want to see you. No, Lord. What answers would we give? It's a constant struggle, the riptide pulling us out of things. Second application, what would we identify as our single devotion in life? Now, Jesus could tell us, couldn't he? Boy, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Boy, that would be interesting. If Jesus would just tell us, I'm going to tell you your single-hearted devotion. Whew. Boy, that would be enlightening, wouldn't it? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we could find it. We could find it. For instance, how did you react when your child ran their bicycle into your brand new car and put a big dent into it? I don't know if my dad ever remembers this, and I know I didn't. Some reason, he was getting ready to paint something, and he had the gallon paint on the back of the truck bed, and somehow I dumped the whole thing out. I don't know if you remember that or not. I don't know. I just, there it is. The whole, there it is on the ground, you know. And I'm really waiting to get the spanking. I remember he didn't get upset or anything. You know, he was probably thinking, good, I don't have to paint now. I don't know. But I just remember, you know. But I remember when a guy in our church years ago, his name was AJ. He just bought a brand new Toyota truck. It was four-wheel drive, set up kind of high. It was charcoal gray. And we had outgrown our parking lot, so we put a whole row of gravel so people could park on the gravel and let visitors come in. And so my son, who was, I don't know how old, just a little guy, for whatever reason that morning, on his brand new truck, decided to go out there, pick up the gravel, and throw them at AJ's truck. That's what preachers' kids do. Okay. And somehow, I don't know if I saw him or found out, I thought, oh, no. Of all, and I think there was just a little nick. It wasn't bad. But I went and told AJ, and AJ said, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Wasn't that a great response? That showed me that wasn't his treasure. That wasn't his treasure. It wasn't a single-hearted devotion. What would we identify as our single-hearted devotion? You want to know how to get that answer? What's your treasure? What's your treasure? Ask yourself, what makes me upset? What did I want that I didn't get? And how did I react? Bingo, you'll find a treasure, right? You'll find your treasure. You know, I was thinking this through, and what a release if Jesus is our treasure. Think about this. If Jesus is our treasure, then it's okay and we are perfectly fine if moths eat it. Because that's not our treasure, Jesus is. We're okay and it's perfectly fine if that thing got stolen, because it's not our treasure. We're okay if that special thing got damaged or ruined or falls apart, because that's not our treasure. It's okay, because Jesus is my treasure. Or we don't have what others have. I'm okay, because that's not my treasure. Jesus is my treasure. Or if we're not appreciated, if no one says thank you or good job or I love you or I don't know what I'd do without you or whatever. You know, all those things we say at funerals but don't tell people when we're alive. Isn't that sad? But that's what happens. Most of that's what happens. Still say them at funerals, but. But if I'm not appreciated, it's okay. Because that's not my treasure. Jesus is my single-hearted devotion. If we don't feel like we fit in, if I go to school and I just don't fit in, that's okay. Because that's not my treasure. If we aren't the best, we're not the best athlete, we're not the best musician, we're not the best looking person, we're not the best academically. In fact, we are downright average. And some of us are below average, right? You know what? That's okay. Why? Because that's not my treasure. Jesus is my treasure. When our heart gets broken, when people break our hearts and we're crushed inside and nobody else knows and nobody can feel that, it hurts, but guess what? It's okay. Because the one who will never break your heart and will never crush you, he's your treasure. He's your treasure. Boy, how I wish I was here, don't you? What is our single-hearted devotion? I preached this week at our preacher's school, and I had the last message. I wasn't happy with my job. I never am, but I preached a beautiful church in an ugly world. Wow. You know how we get to be a beautiful church in an ugly world? Jesus is our treasure. He's our treasure. Not the culture. He's our treasure. Third and last. Who do we really belong to? Who is our master? Who is our master? My dog knows who his master is. It's me. At least I think he thinks it's me. Right? We understand when it comes to pets and that kind of thing. Or if we watch a documentary on the slave days, which was horrible, it was wrong, it was sinful. It was based on a sinful theological understanding, a messed up theological understanding that all people are not human. It's horrible. But we kind of understand the mindset. We understand master-slave. But for some reason when it comes to Jesus, we don't get it. Guess what? He is our master. We are his slave. But he's a loving, gracious master. That's the best part. And what Jesus is trying to express in verse 24 is you got to examine who you really belong to. If you're not saved here today, you don't have an account in heaven. You're in constant darkness. You need to be redeemed today. Only Jesus can save you. And expose that light, and you need to repent and trust Jesus. He's your only hope to give you righteousness. All your treasure, you'll die without anything. If you are saved today, there's only one who deserves our love, our service, our devotion. That's our master, Jesus. It's our master. And as I thought about this and this whole context, we have to constantly go back to the cross and the gospel, don't we? Because you're not going to wake up tomorrow and suddenly not feel compelled to be pulled out away from the shore. It's just not going to happen. Every day of your life, you're going to feel the riptide of darkness and things pulling you away from Jesus. You're going to feel it. It's a constant battle. As I was driving in today, there was some kind of roadkill on the road. And what do birds do? They sit up in a tree or on the wires, and they wait till it's clear. They know traffic. They look left. They look right. Well, this bird swooped down on the roadkill, began to eat, and I was coming this way. Cars were coming this way. And right as we got to the bird, poof, we flew away to safety. And I saw that, and I thought, that's what I do. That's what God's church does. We pull into things we ought not pull into. We fly in the middle of this danger where treasures and things and darkness and money are pulling us away, and we try to swoop in and get out so we're not hurt. What happens eventually? Somebody's going to hit that bird. And eventually something's going to hit you. And it'll all come crashing down. All come crashing down. And so it's a constant battle. Who do we belong to? Who's our master? Paul put it this way: don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So here's his conclusion. So glorify God in your body. Father in heaven, what an amazing study this has been. How convicting, how stirring in our hearts. And you knew as your church that we would struggle with these things. We'd struggle with possessions, we'd struggle with things, we'd struggle with people, we'd struggle with money, prestige, and all the things that we deal with. First of all, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for allowing ourselves to be pulled away from the shore. Lord, I ask that you would expose in my heart and all of us, what's our single-hearted devotion? What's our treasure? What's replacing you? What do we want the most? What upsets us the most? And God, somehow by your power and strength, bring us back to shore. Bring us back to the light, full of light. Bring us back to a loving, gracious master. Bring us back to storing up treasures in heaven that last for eternity beyond our funeral. So Lord, as we sing, what a great song we're going to sing. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. And I will love you, my rock, my strength. And as we sing, I pray that each and every one of us, you would just continue to get into our heart and help us to have clear single vision so we can walk in the light. And I pray, Lord, that a lot of confessing and a lot of repenting and a lot of praising, a lot of asking for help would go on even as we sing. Lord, before we sing, I just want to say to you, thank you for loving us. How great is our darkness, but how great is your love. It is absolutely beyond comprehension. You know us inside and out. You could tell us our treasure, but your faithfulness is great. You continue to work with us and convict us and try to show us truth that we can get close to the shore. The best life ever, walking close to the shore, Jesus. So thank you for loving us. And thank you for loving us enough for Jesus to preach this message so many years ago that we can even hear it again today. So work mightily, I pray, by faith in Christ's name.